genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Every show has a theme. Today's theme is things that fire off synapses in our brains. My next guest is going to talk about a subject that fires off pleasure neurons because we as humans are, by nature, social animals. Maribeth Kaminsky is the president and of a consulting firm called Red Zone Marketing. She and her firm design and improve sales and marketing strategies for customers. They improve customer service programs, add branding, differentiate strategies for companies that are high-producing entrepreneurial firms all the way up to Fortune 100 companies. Maribeth is the author of 4 books, her latest book, The Connectors. She also has the Red Zone Marketing book as well. She's frequently appeared on TV and radio as a guest. She's also appeared on Coach Ron Tunick's show, The Business of Life. Maribeth has graduated with a degree in journalism from Syracuse University and her MBA from George Washington University. She lives in the greater Chicagoland area with her husband, Rich, and their 2 children. Welcome back to the show, Maribeth. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, we're glad to have you. And I want to get into something that you have done that I think is very special, and that's the 12 ways to create connections in the virtual world. And I want to get to that in a minute, but let's set the stage for listeners who may have missed some of your earlier interviews. What is a connector, and how can our listeners become a connector, even if they're not people persons, if they're a little bit of an introvert or something like that?
Well, a connector is someone who uses their social intelligence. And I think that's really what it, if you look at what's the number one key for somebody that is successful in business, what's their number one attribute? If they're successful in business, they've probably got a high level of social intelligence. They don't need to have a high level of IQ, although that helps, but it's the social intelligence that really makes a big difference. And so when we've looked at successful professionals, we say, you know what? It's their ability to connect with others. If you think about how you get a job, or how you are able to get somebody to buy from you, or how to get someone to do something that you want them to do, you've connected with them probably on an emotional level at some point. And that actually is the ability to connect. We have found that lots of, and in fact, the people that I interviewed for the book, The Connectors, have lots of connections. Not just 1 or 2 or 3, but 10, 15, 20, on average, closer to 100 powerful business connections that people that they, you know, talk to, and people that they use in their business, and people that are really advocates for what it is that they do. And that makes all the difference. Knowing a few people is good. Knowing a lot of people who really understand what it is that you do is fantastic.
All right. Now, that's very interesting, Maribeth, because I've heard of the intelligence quotient, the IQ. We all took IQ tests. And recently, I've heard of the emotional quotient. But you're talking about something new here. You're really talking about a social quotient. How do you measure something like that, and how do you improve it?
Well, in the book, The Connectors, I actually have a connector IQ.
Hello, Maribeth, are you there? Oh, I think we lost you there. Ah, the miracles of modern technology, mobile phones and everything else. We'll try to get Maribeth back on the phone. Remember, you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Our guest is Maribeth Kuzminski. She is the president of the consulting firm Red Zone Marketing. We're going to get into in just a minute the 12 ways to create job connections in the virtual world. That's her latest subject, and it is fascinating. We'll try to get her back on the phone. But before, we were just going through what is the social quotient. How do you become a social connector, especially if you're an introvert like Billy the Brain or some of the other introverts who may be listening to the sound of my voice. So that is her subject. We'll get right back to her as soon as we can reach her on the telephone line. Remember, if you've missed this interview or any of my interviews, you can find them up on the website, Brainstorming Online. And now, back with us. Maribeth, are you back there?
I'm back. I'm so sorry. I don't know what is wrong.
Well, you know, technical glitches happen all the time in this modern world. And I do want to talk about the 12 ways to connect in the virtual world. But before we get to that, we're just discussing the social quotient that you were describing with successful people who have 100 or more connections to really become successful. How do you become more social? How do you measure and improve your social quotient?
And as I mentioned before, there's actually an assessment that's in the book, The Connectors, that gives you an idea of where you're at right now. Everybody can get better at connecting. There's absolutely no question about it that we can get better at connecting. The key is to do something about it, to know where you're at right now. And so having a way or a format to take a look at, okay, what am I good at? What am I not good at? What do I like to do? And by the way, one of the key things is that introverts can actually be better connectors than extroverts.
Oh, tell me why.
So there's some real skill sets there. So an introvert will look at an event, like for instance, they might look at going to a networking event or some business function, and they're not really that excited to go. An extrovert is probably thinking about it for a week. I can't wait to go to this event. It's going to be fantastic. But an introvert is going to think, and that the greatest connectors that are introverts will think about, well, who's going to be at that event? And who, maybe they even called the organizer to say, can I have a list of people that are going to be there? And from that list, they pick the 3 or 5 people that they absolutely want to get to know, that they want to have become their advocates, that they want to know more about their business. So they pick, and they're very purposeful about who they want to connect with. They Google search, they sign up some information, so they have a conversation starter, because connectors don't, you know, introverts don't want to necessarily show up and not know what to say to somebody. So they do a Google search, they figure out what they're going to say, and then they go into the event, they talk to the 3 or 5 people, and they get there. They don't walk and shake everybody's hands and try to get to know everybody. They're having purposeful conversations with the exact people that they want to get to know, because they've taken, from we call it a pre-search standpoint, they've done some pre-research on who we want to see and who we want to talk with, and it enables them to be very, very good, exceptional connectors when they're in those situations.
Oh, I love it. Mary Beth, you're great. Now, one of the resources that you've just recently created is something that you call 12 Ways to Create Job Connections in the Virtual World. And I think it begins with the right mindset, doesn't it? You've got a mantra, very similar to the mantra that real estate agents use, about getting noticed in the digitally dominated job market. What is that mantra?
Well, I think there's a lot of things you can look at, but number one, you have got to stand out for everyone else. If you think about who is applying for a job, well, maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there might be 20 people who apply for a job. Today, that same job that attracted 20 interested people will attract a thousand today. If you think that emailing in your resume, just like you might have done before, and people that have just joined a job search after they've been working for maybe 20 years or 15 years, they look at it differently. You've got to absolutely stand out and be memorable, or you won't ever be heard.
Oh, I agree. And you believe very strongly that the great networkers are the ones that are capable of leaving something behind with everybody they encounter. What do you mean by that? And give us some examples.
Well, again, it's about being memorable. But if you're a great connector, you are going to leave something behind. Hopefully, it's a good memory of what it is that you have done or something that you have said. But what if you have a business card and your business card is just real boring? And even if you're not employed, you can still have a business card, a calling card of some sort. But if it's really nondescript, I mean, I actually have my business is called Red Zone Marketing, and we use an analogy to football. My business card is a football card. It's the actual size of a football card. It's glossy like a football card. On the back, I've got my stats, including, well, age and weight and stuff like that.
You're brave.
Right, but you know what? When you do your own football card, you can make up whatever weight and age you want.
Ah, very clever.
There's no fact-checking. But at any rate, it's a leave behind that people actually keep. And I want to leave behind with someone something that they're actually not going to throw away, that they might keep, that they think is a little bit unique. So it's either the memory of something that you've said or something that you've done, or perhaps it is something that you've actually given them that reminds you. Because if you meet 10 people in a day or 100 people in a day, how are you going to remember one person from another unless they've given you something to really talk about?
Oh, I think that's great advice. We're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski, everybody. She is the author of the book Connectors, and we're talking about the 12 ways to create job connections in the virtual world. Mary Beth, we got to take a short break for some commercials. When we come back, though, I want to do a deep dive into the 12 ways in which we can connect in the virtual world. So hold on to that thought. We'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're here on KKZZ, AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. And we're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski. She's the author of the book Connectors. And one of the things that she has recently developed as a resource is something that she calls the 12 ways to create job connections in the virtual world. And with so much more of the pre-hiring going on over the internet and by email, it's even more important today to be able to connect with potential employers in this virtual world. So we're talking with Mary Beth about that subject. We're going to do a deep dive into all 12 of the ways that she suggests. And back with us, Mary Jane. Welcome back, Mary Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, great. So the 12 things to connect in the virtual world. I think this is such an appropriate topic. The first on your list is rejuvenate your resume. And what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that you have to look at your resume and say, well, what are the key points on my resume? Is there something that really I want to stick out on my resume? And I mean really stick out. If there's something you've done that's been significant, highlight it, bold it, pull it off the page, put a headline on it, put a picture on, something that's going to treat it like a brochure. You don't want to make it a promotional brochure, but treat it like you were marketing a company, not sending out a resume.
All right.
Marketing a company, you're going to have more of a brochure.
That is very true, Mary Beth. So let me ask you a follow-on question, though. Today, so much more of the pre-hiring is done electronically, where you either fax or email in your resume, and it gets scanned by some scanner, and then an HR person is reviewing all of the scanned resumes. If you've got these pictures and you've got these highlights, how are you going to get through that screening process?
Well, it's very, very difficult. In fact, it's so difficult that we go ahead and recommend that you've got to find... Go through your LinkedIn, find connections, people that you might know, that might know somebody that works at the company that you want to work at. Because that's how people get hired. It's how people have always gotten hired. And, you know, just relying on something like sending out a resume and just hoping that that's going to do it for you is really, it's not going to be enough today. It's not going to be enough.
Good advice. Now, you bring up LinkedIn. LinkedIn is actually second on your list of 12 things to get noticed in the virtual world. So let's talk about LinkedIn. Why is LinkedIn better than, say, Facebook or MySpace or some of the other networks that are out there?
Well, I think that it's the one. In fact, from all the research we've done and what we know to be true, it's that LinkedIn is the one where professionals hang out. Facebook, you know, there's everybody's on Facebook and their kids and everybody else. But on LinkedIn, it's professionals. And it's actually looked at as a resource for finding people that you could hire, and also a great resource to look for companies that are hiring. It's a professional site where professionals hang out.
All right. Do you have any suggestions about how you fill out your profile on LinkedIn?
Well, you want to make sure that you've got a picture, number one, that you've got your picture on there, and that you completely fill out your profile. You talk about, again, just like you do on a resume, what are the things that you've done? Because it's basically an online resume. What are the things that you've done that really are maybe interesting to other people? What are the things that you've done that are beneficial for somebody that might be looking to hire somebody like you? If you're a salesperson and you can close a lot of sales, then you better list that on there somehow, some way. So, you know, it's basically taking a look at putting your picture on there and putting your job, the responsibilities that you've had in the past, and the things that that you're really good at, and making sure that it's a complete profile. And LinkedIn will tell you whether the profile is complete or not. It'll actually tell you percentage-wise how complete you are in your profile.
I love it when there are tools like that. We're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski, everybody, and we're discussing the 12 ways to create job connections in the virtual world. Number three on your list, Mary Beth, is one that I like, and that is get face-to-face with potential employers. Boy, that's lost in this virtual world, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, you know, we're so used to texting and emailing and everything else, but I think, again, like I said before, people get hired because they have connections. They get hired because somebody knows you, and people want to hire people that they know. How are you going to get people to know you? You've got to get out of your house. If you're working in a current job and you want a different one, you got to, you know, go to networking events, do something to allow yourself to be face-to-face. If there's a company you want to work for, why not stop by? Drop off your resume. Try to get face-to-face with the receptionist. Ask to see someone. What do you have to lose? You say, well, I would never do that. You're not stalking them. You're just going in and saying, hey, I'm looking for a job. And I was, you know, why not get face-to-face with somebody? And after you've had an interview, it's important also to try to be face-to-face after the interview so that they remember who you were.
I think that that's good advice. Now, let me ask you, Mary Beth, are you one of those that proposes that if you want to work for Company X and you know that at 12 o'clock everybody leaves Company X and goes to lunch at a certain restaurant, are you one that says, go to that restaurant, have lunch there in hopes of meeting people?
Well, why not? I mean, people have used that strategy for a long time. If you're dating or something else, where are the people that are also single and dating hang out? Well, that's where I want to be if I'm single and I'm dating. Well, it's the same principle for you hang out with the people that you want to be hanging out with. And so if you know that they're going to XYZ restaurant, well, that's where you go. And one of the things that I've even done is to, talk to a waitress or talk to somebody that works there, get to know them, and have them introduce you to them. They'll do it. They'd love to do it. And it's a line in. What's your commonality? Well, we go to the same restaurant.
Interesting. I love that. That tip right there, folks, was worth the price of admission right there. I love that. Now, fourth up on your list, Mary Beth, is use video to make an impact. Boy, in this digital world, that's interesting. Can you elaborate on that one?
Well, the way that I think that video can really be used is after you've had an interview with someone, and there's 10 people that had an interview for that same job over the past 2 days. So it's kind of like shopping for a house. If you ever shop for a house, sometimes the features of each house sort of meld in together, and you say, well, which house had that kitchen, and which house had that big bedroom? And you don't really remember. It's kind of like the person who's interviewing you. They're not really going to remember, maybe, all the things that are so great about you. How do you get back face-to-face? Use video. So here's a strategy. You get like a flip video camera, one of those inexpensive video cameras, and you do a nice script, and instead of doing a thank you note, after an interview, you record a YouTube. You record something, put it up on YouTube. Just, hey, thanks for meeting with me today. I really enjoyed interviewing with you. I learned that this and this and this is what you're looking for, and I believe I've got those characteristics that can really help you out. Here, again, as a reminder, here are some of the things that I've done that I think will be really beneficial for your firm. And in 1 minute, you've given them a recap of what's so great about you, but what's best is you've given them you. And you can post it as a private on YouTube, meaning that the only people that can see it are those that you've sent the link to. So send the link to the person or people that have interviewed you and let them click and watch the 1 minute video. And by the way, tell them it's only 1 minute. Because if they think they're going to have to sit through an 18 minute video of you, they're not going to do it. But they might sit through a 1 minute video and just see, well, what the heck is this?
I love it.
And,
using the technology to your advantage.
Out.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. You also can use it for to get the interview as well. If you have someone's email, instead of sending out the resume, maybe you send out a link to YouTube. I think it's probably a little better to use after the interview. But let's say you're having trouble just getting that interview. What do you have to lose? It's not like you're putting it on YouTube for everyone to see. It's going to be a private link, and that's it.
Oh, I love it. We're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski, everybody, author of the book Connectors, but we're today talking about the 12 ways to create job connections in the virtual world. And on your list of 12, Mary Beth, you've got pitch yourself in 15 seconds. Have we become so attention deficit disorder that all we have left now is 15 seconds?
Well, yes. Unfortunately, yes, I think that's true. But the other side of it is, if you're talking to somebody that you don't know, how long do you really want to listen to them talk about themselves? And the answer is not very long, unless it's a very interesting, famous person or something like that. But otherwise, most people would love to talk about themselves, not listen to someone else talk. So if you can give somebody in 15 seconds or less some of the key points about you without having to go on and on, and I used to work at this company and my job responsibilities were, and blah, 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 instead of just, you know, giving them a high point or the high point in a 15-second script. And that actually has a lot of benefit because people go, oh, wow, well, I get it. It's concise, but you've got to practice it. It's kind of like an elevator speech, but it's even shorter than that, and it's not designed to be gimmicky. It's designed to be beneficial. I've learned something about what it is that you do or what it is that you'd like to do.
Very good. Also on your list, Mary Beth, is something that resonates with me. You say become a contrarian networker. Now, I'm contrary just by nature. So what do you mean by becoming a contrarian networker?
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're contrarian by nature, but it's not to be a bad thing. It's actually a great thing. And the reason that I say contrarian is because there's actually an entire chapter on this written in the book, The Connectors, because it's not about some negative form of connecting. It's actually about looking at it in a totally different way, looking at it from different eyes, which is, I imagine, what you do when you're interviewing people and things like that on the radio. It's looking at it from a different point of view. If I look at networking as everyone looks at networking, you say, well, what's it about? Well, you go to a networking event, you collect business cards, you look for people that might have interest in doing business with you, and then you follow up with them. And most of the time, after most networking events, people are disappointed and it just doesn't work out the way they wanted it to. And it just doesn't, it's not, wow, that networking event was so fantastic. I got all this new business from it. But when we interviewed people for the connectors, what I found out is that great connectors don't do it that way. Great connectors actually look at a networking event and say, who do I want to get to know there? Who do I want to find out more about and their business and the things that they're doing and to learn from them, as opposed to going and selling? You're using it as an opportunity to find people that could definitely or potentially become advocates for you. To get someone to become an advocate for you, you don't talk about yourself. You actually listen to them and you ask them good questions about them and you try to understand their business. They'll like you a heck of a lot more than if you start telling them about all the things that you do.
We're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski, everybody, who's the author of the book Connectors. Got some great ideas for creating job connections in this virtual world. A couple more that we can get into just before the interview ends. And this one seems somewhat self-explanatory, but I want you to expand on it a little bit. Network with people you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you think about all the people that you know and that possibly could help you in your job search and things like that, it's kind of the most obvious connection, but why wouldn't we talk to them? Why wouldn't we talk to the people that would be most likely to lend us a helping hand and really give us some help? Instead of saying, well, I've got to go out and meet new people, why not tell the people that you already know what you're looking to do, that you're looking for a job, and if they know anybody, they'd be the most likely to reach out to somebody and to dig deep into their connections to find someone that could help you. And I think sometimes we just overlook that.
Well, isn't there a certain amount of stigma associated with that, too? If you're looking for a job or if you're out of work, you don't necessarily want to tell the people that you're closest to, hey, I'm out of work.
Well, yeah, sometimes you don't want to tell people that, listen, I'm looking for a job, and sometimes people are sensitive about that. But I think if you're looking for the people that can help you the most, and you don't have to say, hey, I'm down and out, and I'm a real loser, I don't have a job. No, it's not that about that at all. It's like, listen, you know, my company had some downsizing, and I'm looking for a better job. If you know anyone, I mean, you've got to be confident about the way you're talking about it, because why would you ignore the people that can help you the most just because you might be embarrassed for 5 minutes that, you know, that you're looking for a job? At some point, they're going to know anyways. You might as well reach out to them proactively and ask them for help. They likely will help you. And take it on, in some cases, as a personal mission.
So to paraphrase you, Mary Beth Kuzminski, get over it. All right. One of the other things, and we've only got time for this last one, that I like, it's on your list. You say to volunteer. Why is that important when you're out looking for a new job?
Well, let's say that you're spending some daytime hours looking for a job, or maybe, you know, part-time job or something to fill in the blanks, and you really want to get that other job. Well, the key is to find the connections, who knows people at that job or who is well-connected. And one of the things that I found is that people that are really involved in different charities or different organizations and have given of their time are often very successful. And if you look at, well, maybe I should, you know, volunteer with the United Way or do something like that and use my time when it's my quote-unquote free time to do that, I'm going to make some connections with people, and they're going to see how committed I am to this organization or whatever organization you're volunteering for, and they're going to see a really great side of you, get to know you, and want to help you if they know that you're looking for a job. And why not get to know more people as opposed to just, you know, going up cold to people at a networking event? Why not get to know them through the course of working with them, quote-unquote working, through involvement with a charity or volunteering at some other organization?
Great advice, Mary Beth. We're talking to Mary Beth Kuzminski, everybody, author of the book, The Connectors. It's a great read. We're out of time, Mary Beth. Thank you so much for being our guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. And that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Join us every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Go out there and make it a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.